to understanding what God has for you in the Bible. God has a lot for you in the Bible. A lot of what we have in the Bible that is really received by revelation. There is information in the Bible, but it really just never clicks until there's revelation. You've got to have revelation. And praying the Ephesian prayers is a great source of having revelation knowledge of what's in the Bible, having it be real to you, having it be alive to you. They said that John Wesley used to read the Bible out loud on his knees, read each verse, and then he would pray, "Lord, give me revelation of that verse." And then he'd read the next verse out loud and pray, "Lord, give me revelation of that verse." And then it was said that when he preached in the open air, he could preach to as many as 20,000 people in the open air at one time, and everybody could hear him. And he could quote really long passages of Scripture from memory. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to pray it as a prayer, and we'll start in verse 17. "May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and far above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. For He has put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all." Jesus has been given the seat and the name that is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Is cancer a name? The answer is yes. Cancer is a name. Jesus has the name that's above that name. Is AIDS a name? Yes. Jesus has the name that's above that name. Anything that, what about other incurable illnesses? They have a name, and Jesus' name is above that name. What happens if the doctors give you a Latin name that's this big and says, we can't help you? You've got the name that's above that name, above every name that can be named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. God has put all things under Jesus' feet, given Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. And so when you use the name of Jesus, what's higher than the name of Jesus? Everything on the earth is beneath the name of Jesus. Everything on the earth is subject to the name of Jesus. Everything. Everything on the earth is created. Everything on the earth is subject to the name of the Creator. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. "And for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant unto us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in our inner man." That we would get this kind of strength on the inside. "That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that we would be rooted and grounded in love. That we would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us." Amen? "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." That's Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. Another one of these similar prayers. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Now, let's go a couple pages further. There's another prayer like this in the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And so we put this in the first person. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for us and to desire that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father, may we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May we be strengthened with all might according to your glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. May we give thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers, or has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. It's awesome. He has translated us from the power of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Once you were darkness, now you are children of light. Don't look at yourselves in the old way. You're not there. That's not who you are. God doesn't see you that way. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Where do you sit? You're raised up together and seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. That's how God sees you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, I'm reading King James, quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus is seated there, far above all principality and every name that can be named. And who is seated there with him? We are. We are raised up together with him and seated with Jesus in heavenly places. How do you pray? Like this or like that? You pray from a place of authority. You don't pray as a beggar. You pray as one given authority. Now, if I give Bridget authority, let's say I give you the authority to clean the church. How about that? What a great job. I've given, behold, I give you the vacuum cleaner, and I give you the authority to clean the church. Behold, here are thy tools, thy dust mop and thy broom. And I give her the authority to clean the church. And then what would happen if Bridget says, oh, dear Brad, oh, Pastor Brad, please help me get that dust back up over there. Please, God, please, please, Pastor. Now, I've given her authority. But what happens if she's begging me to help clean this spot here on the carpet?
You're annoyed.
Right. It's inappropriate, right? Because, chunk. I've given her all of the tools, all of the chemicals, all of the cleaners, everything that she needs to clean the church. And then what happens when she says, Pastor, please, please? She's not receiving what I've given her. She's not receiving that delegated authority. What's her job to do is take what's been given to her and apply it. What's been given to you, and apply it. And so the illustration of that is when I was praying for God to sell 1008 Drake Avenue in Burlingame. And I had put my sign in front of it. I'm walking around in the fields in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, saying, God, sell 1008 Drake. Sell that house, sell that house. And I'm desperate. I've got to have that house sell. Drowning in debt. And I've got to get this thing done. I'm about to go minister at a rest home. You know, I'm doing a good work for God. And I'm going to go meet my friend Chris, who plays the piano, and I would sing, and then we would kind of minister to the people, and we would sing together. But we had a really good little thing going on there. And then I was real excited about going over, and I'm just sitting there at the car door, go to the library and pray. I go to the library and I pray. 2 hours I prayed. And then finally, I get the answer. I'm not selling that house for you. what do you mean? I'm not going to sell the house for you. And in here, I know I've heard from heaven. I know I've gotten the answer. 2 hours, I mean, I know I got it. But my head's going, that's not what I wanted to hear. It's not what I was expecting. But my heart's going, you got it. That's the key. He doesn't do it, you do it. You know. And it took me a while, and I finally kind of got it straight. Talked to Gigi a little bit about it and got it worked out. And that night, started making phone calls back to the Bay Area. $200 phone bill by that week, and just called everybody who'd seen the house. What price would you take it at? Got an offer. Got the offer brought in. Started negotiating with the partners. One of the partners said, I think I can get a better offer than that, and bought me out. And he got a better offer, but we were going right up into the Gulf War at that time. I wanted to close before Schwarzkopf attacked. And there was this sort of January 1st, or there was some sort of date on that. And I wanted to make sure we closed before that date. And I closed that week. But my friend, what he did is he took a contract that was just a little bit higher, but had a longer fuse and a longer closing date, bought me out, and closed with that later date. We wouldn't have even had the contract if I hadn't gotten on the phone and made it happen. Made it happen. Now, was that all me? No. It's me doing the work with the anointing of God. Was it just David's incredible accuracy that struck down Goliath? It was the anointing of God on David to throw that stone. It's the anointing of God that comes upon you to do what you need to do to get it done. To put the ball over, to pay the bills this month, to get out of debt, to get things paid off. There is an anointing that will come upon you. You're not going to say, God, please just do it. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, it's done. And you start speaking to things, and the anointing comes upon you, and God's assistance comes upon you, and you make it happen. Now, am I just preaching humanism? There's just have to believe in yourself. And, you know, if you just believe in yourself, the power is within you, and it will just happen. Let's go do a fire walk. Let's take off our shoes. No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about here is the anointing of God and cooperating with the Spirit of God with the delegated authority that is already there. Okay, so let's look. What's our main text? Our main text is Luke chapter 10, 19 through 20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Who's been given the authority? We have. Is it over some of the devil's stuff or over all the devil's stuff? All. We have been given power over all the devil's stuff. When did Jesus say this to his disciples? Think about it. He said it to them when the 70 had returned from their ministry trip, and they said, and they returned with joy, and they said, even the demons are subject to us. You know, it's totally working. We're healing the sick. We're casting out demons. Things are happening. This was so much fun. It says that it's one spot in the Bible where it says Jesus got happy, where Jesus just had a party. It says that Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Spirit. This is exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff when you apply what you have just learned. Yaya told me just a few minutes ago, she said, I got somebody saved this week. I got somebody saved. That's joy. That's awesome. That is so much fun. Yeah, exactly. Let's just give her a round of applause. I mean, glory to God. We celebrate this kind of stuff. It's fun doing the stuff. It's a blast. Mike Gundren was so pumped up last Sunday because Saturday night he'd been out with Roger Anderson preaching on the street in downtown San Jose. Roger prayed for this guy in, you know, Mike Gundren's words. He was jacked up. and he prayed with him, and the guy really got blessed. It really got ministered to. So it's a blast doing this sort of thing. It's really fun. This is what the Bible says. The 70 came back, and they're like, wow, this is cool. This is fun stuff. And so Jesus rejoices with them and says, I've given you the authority. I've given you guys the authority. This isn't the 12. This is the 70. We don't know their names. This is the church. This is the church that he had. This is the people that Jesus had at the time. So he says it after they come back from their ministry trip. He didn't say it to the 12. He said it to the 70. And then, to be certain, let's look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This should be underlined in your Bible. Jesus is saying this as the last things that he says on the earth. The last things he says to his disciples. Jesus said to them, Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. This is for us. Did Jesus say this just to the 12? Did he just say it to the few people there? No. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or to all creation. Is that the beginning of the Bible time? No. That was for the church until Jesus comes back. That command is in place now. Until Jesus returns, that is in force. Nothing will change. Nothing has worn out. There isn't some sort of apostolic era that went away. Read the Little Flowers of St. Francis. Miracle, 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 miracle. It's just full of miracles. The whole book. In the 1100s, just tremendous number of miracles. And that's, what, halfway between the time of Jesus and today. Did the apostolic era end? It did not end. Another great resource is Reinhard Bonnke's video, Raised from the Dead. Oh, it should be in every Christian's library. What a witnessing tool. This is the thing you give to your relatives. Reinhard Bonnke's. Christ for the Nations is the name of his ministry. Christ for All Nations, not the nations. Christ for All Nations, CFAN. Website is CFAN.com. But you've got to order that. You've got to get that DVD. Dare your relatives to watch that thing all the way through. It'll get them saved. Where did Jesus tell us to pray for the sick? He doesn't say pray for the sick. Jesus said heal the sick. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will heal the sick. He said, preach the gospel, heal the sick. When he sent out the 12, preach the gospel, heal the sick. When he sent out the 70, preach the gospel, heal the sick. When he commissioned the church, he said, these signs will follow. They will heal the sick. Heal the sick. Not pray for the sick, heal the sick. If I delegate to Bridget, clean the church, does she pray for me to clean the church? Wrong. That's not how it works. How many of you have worked with somebody whom you gave authority to do something and they just keep coming back to you and coming back to you and coming back to you, and how do you want it done? And this is kind of hard. Can you help me lift this? And can you do this? And might as well do it myself. Right? That's pretty much the attitude, right? It's not how it works. But when God does things, he does them right and he does it righteously. I'm not going to sell the house for you. Why? Because it would violate laws. I have delegated authority. It's there on the earth. Work with it. Not going to do it. What happens is that because that line is there, people have made up all kinds of funny religious explanations of why something didn't work. I was praying for God to do something, and it didn't happen. Therefore, it must be. No, that's not the solution. What it is that there is a line. God says authority has been given to the church in the name of Jesus. If you don't use it, heaven is not going to violate that delegation. It's done. God is God. God doesn't change. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God. And he told me, out of love, I'm not going to do that for you. Love you. You're my son. It's for you to do it. And it worked. Totally worked. 7 days. Funds wired into the account. Done. Closed. Done. Awesome. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Actually, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read these things to you real fast because we want to get to prayer. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 6. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Don't go into the way of the Gentiles and don't enter the city of Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Verse 8. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." It's your job. Heal, cast out, cleanse. You do it. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Does God still want us to preach the kingdom of God? Absolutely. He's given, every time, he gave the commission to bring the gospel to people. He said, "Heal the sick." The gospel and heal the sick. The gospel and heal the sick. The gospel and heal the sick. They go together. They are inseparable. The good news and healing, the good news and authority are inseparable. Good Christians tell people about Jesus and then say, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? You may not have ever seen anybody get healed in your life. How can I pray for you? It's not about you. You aren't going to do it. You're not going to heal anybody. But you've got the name of Jesus. You've got it just like I do. Just like anybody else. Just like Joe McCauley. Just like Margaret McCauley. You've got the name of Jesus just like Neil Sunblatt. You already have it. Luke chapter 10, you don't have to go there. Verse 1. "And these things the Lord appointed. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." Verse 9, he said, "Heal the sick there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. The application of this is that we should do a lot more saying than praying. Veronica called me from Sue Langert's art gallery in Half Moon Bay and said somebody came in and said the fire is coming towards their house. I called you, Pastor, because I want you to pray. I kind of started to pray, and I said, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to say. And we spoke to the fire. Turn, go away, go back. And the fire turned, went away, went back. We spoke to it. Did God send the fire after their house? So why would we pray to God? "Dear God, the calamity that you sent..." Doesn't do that. God's a good God. Devil's a bad devil. How do I know that? John 10:10. This you have to have underlined in your Bible. God does what? Good things. The devil does what? Bad things. John 10:10 makes it clear. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." The devil is stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus is giving us abundant life. Life and that more abundantly. Steal, kill, and destroy? That's the devil. What does sickness do? What does hospitalization do? It's a thief. It's a thief. I mean, it takes massive amounts of money. It takes massive amounts of time. It pulls everybody off of their schedules. It's a complete thief. Thief of time, thief of money, thief of just all kinds of things. It's from the devil. God doesn't send that. Acts 10:38. Another one that we're going to make sure is underlined in our Bible. Acts 10:38. Describing the ministry of Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Have you been anointed with the Holy Spirit? Yes. And with power. who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The devil is in the stealing, killing, destroying, and oppressing business. Jesus is in the doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Who's doing the oppressing? The devil. Jesus is doing the healing. Jesus is doing the good. Do you want some good done around your house? Use the name of Jesus. So we're about the doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil business. As we're getting ready for prayer, there are too many books that are for continuing education. One is How God Taught Me About Prosperity by Kenneth Hagin. And the number two one is How to Write Your Own Ticket with God by Kenneth Hagin. You need those two books. Those two books really kind of finish this whole teaching. You've got to finish reading The Believer's Authority. Finish reading The Believer's Authority. And then get How to Write Your Own Ticket with God by Kenneth Hagin. How God Taught Me About Prosperity. These two little mini books are like $1.25 or something like that. You can get them on both Kenneth Hagin. All three are Kenneth Hagin books. Online, rhema.org, and easy to get, amazon.com, easy to get. All right, so I'm reading about how God Taught Me About Prosperity by Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin's praying about money. So the Lord said to me, go back to the book of beginnings. I knew he was talking about the book of Genesis. And he says, you know, I made the world in the fullness thereof. Psalm 89:11. Yes. You know how I made my man Adam? Yes. You know it says in the 50th Psalm that every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Verse 10. Yes. It says in the Old Testament that the silver and gold are the Lord's. Haggai 2:8. Yes, I know that. He said, it's mine because I am the creator and I made it. But then I turned it over to my man Adam. I said, Adam, I give you dominion over all the work of my hands. That meant Adam had dominion over the cattle of 1,000 hills. He had dominion over the world and the fullness thereof. He had dominion over the silver and the gold. Then the Lord said, for whom do you think I made the cattle of 1,000 hills? And for whom do you think I made the world and the fullness thereof? For whom do you think I made the silver and the gold? Did I make it for the devil and his crowd? No. I made it for my man Adam. But Satan came along, and Adam committed high treason and sold out to the devil. This gives us kind of an understanding of why things are out of balance. I'd never heard anybody preach that. Back in 1950, this was brand new to me, a revelation. The Lord continued, Adam originally was the god of this world, small g. He ruled and dominated this world. That's the way I planned it. When Adam sold out to Satan, then Satan became the god, small g, of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. But he wasn't the god of this world to begin with, talking about the devil. The Lord said, now the world can build a dance hall, a honky-tonk, a beer joint, or a theater, and put neon lights all over the front of it and dress it up nicely. But if you want to dress up the church, people say, oh, no. But God says to Kenneth Hagin, I expect my people to have the best place in town to meet in. The Lord said, I'm not withholding adequate food and clothing from your little children. That's not me. It's the devil. He's the god, small g, of this world. The money you need is down there on the earth. It's not up here in heaven. And I'm not going to rain any money down from heaven because I don't have any American dollars up here. And if I did rain $20 bills down, they would be counterfeit. And I'm not a counterfeiter. You see, the silver and gold are down there where you need it. I said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God give unto you? The answer is no. Shall men give unto you? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll come from the earth. Shall men give unto you? And so I replied, what do I do? And he replied, in the first place, and this will help you, don't pray about money anymore. That is the way you were praying. He said this, claim whatever you need. Point one, claim whatever you need. I had never heard anybody say that about money. That came as a shock to me. I guess my mouth fell open and my eyes bugged out. And the Lord continued, you say, Satan, take your hands off of my money, because it is Satan who is keeping it from you, not me. How about that? Is this completely applying what we've been learning? This is the logical application of all that we've seen and all that we've read so far. Claim it because it's down there on the earth and Satan has the most control of it, because he's the small g god of this world. Say, I claim whatever amount of money that you want or need. Claim whatever you need or want. Say, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Then say, number three. So number one, claim what you need. Number two, tell the devil to take his hands off of it. Number three, God said to Kenneth Hagin, go ministering spirits, talking about the angels, and cause the money to come in. Send out the angels. Claim the amount. Tell the devil to take his hands off of it. Number three, send out the angels. Send out the angels. Say, go ministering spirits and cause the money to come in. I said, Lord, what in the world do you mean by that? I'd never heard that before. He said, well, did you ever read in the book of Hebrews where it said that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We read that last week. I answered, Lord, I thought that said minister to. He said, no, it doesn't say they'll minister to you. It says they'll minister for you. How about that? Did you get that? They'll minister to you. They'll minister for you. That's huge. That's huge. That's why we pray for revelation knowledge. Minister for you. Jesus said, actually, ministering spirits are sent to serve you. For example, you go into a restaurant, sit down. I could see it then. For years, angels had been standing around me doing nothing because I had never told them to do anything. And I can imagine them saying to one another, I wonder when that dummy is going to wake up. Angels are spirits. They are ministering spirits. They are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. I said, Lord, I thought the Holy Spirit is supposed to do what the Word said He would do, dwell in us and teach us. And this is the way the Lord explained it to me. The devil, Satan himself, doesn't do all the work of the devil. He is like the captain of the host. Demons and evil spirits do his work on the earth. They influence people. They speak to people. They try to get people to steal and to commit adultery and everything that is wrong. Of course, the Holy Spirit influences you. On the other hand, angels, who are good spirits, are also on the earth. If you'll tell them to go and cause money to come in, they'll go and influence people for good, just as evil spirits go and influence people for bad. This is great. And the Lord instructed me that after I once had claimed what I needed, that was to be the end of the matter. I wasn't to pray or do anything else but to praise Him. I thought about this situation, and I was simply to stay in faith and say, thank you, God, for it. It's working. Claim it. Tell the devil to take his hands off it. Send out the angels, and know that it's settled. Thank God for it. You're not to pray for it anymore. You're supposed to believe that it's going to happen because you have spoken in authority. Do people who really understand authority have to say it and say it and say it over and over and over again? Is it a good parent that has to whine to their kids and say it? Will you please clean your room? Please clean your room. Please. Come on, I told you to clean your room. Clean your room. Is that good parenting or bad parenting? It's bad parenting. A good parent will say it once and know that there's consequences if they don't do it. That's good parenting. That's authority. That's how authority works. You say it once, and it's done. I can just see everybody's wheels turning. But what if I start doubting? What if it doesn't happen right away? Now, what happens? Angels are going and ministering and influencing people and causing the money to come in. You got to give it this. There's a process here. It's a process. But you've started it and set it in motion when you set it. What you do to keep it in motion is you stay in faith. I'm a student at Rhema, making $2,000 a month. Woo! $2,000 a month I'm making. And so I start saying, I make $3,000 a month. Devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of $3,000 a month. I claim that. That's what I make. That's mine. I claim $3,000 a month. That's mine in the name of Jesus. Time passing. Took a year. A year later, worked. $3,000 a month. I'm making $3,000 a month. What'd I start saying? I make five. Yeah. So next year goes by. I move from Oklahoma out to here, get a job at American Savings. What'd I get paid? Five. What did I do then? I make 10. What do? I make 10. A year later, I'm a loan agent at American Savings Washington Mutual. How much did I make? 10. And then I got overwhelmed. anyways, you know, the SNL, the savings and loan scandal and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but it worked. I proved it out. 2 to 3 to 5 to 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I'm working there, the next thing happened. And that was how we got real estate. Neat story. I won't even go into it right now. What we need to do is begin to pray. You don't want to just watch me talk anymore. It's time for you to change your world. It's time for you to just change things in your life. There's something called a spirit of faith. You know, you can do this any way you want to, but I want you to do it in a way that you believe it. And it helps me to kind of do it this way, and just because I've seen other people do it this way and it works for them. And it's worked for me. But the Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and help in a time of need. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. It talks about there's some boldness to prayer. That you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You're not thinking about old things. You're thinking about the righteousness of God in Christ. You're thinking about who God made you to be. You're thinking about how you are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And when you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, what happens in heaven? Nobody's in heaven. People are bold in heaven. People are rejoicing in heaven. Angels are, you know, the elders are casting down their crowns and worshiping God. And there's just all this praise and amazing stuff going on in heaven. There's no meek and mopey people. It's rejoicing, and it's exciting. All right, so my point in all this is, let's not squeak at the devil. Please weave me. Please, devil, get out of here. No beanie baby prayers. Let's use authority. Let's stomp our feet, shake our fist, and if you saw somebody removing money from your credit card or charging your credit card or taking money out of your bank account or trying to make your children sick, bringing disease into your house, how would you act? How would you act? You would be furious. You would be furious. You would scream. You would yell. You would use some authority. If somebody was bringing a big bunch of typhoid in through the front door of your house, man, you're going to shut the door. Get out of here. Right? Yeah. People stealing money from you? No, absolutely not. Who are we talking to? We're talking to the devil. Are we yelling at God? Close your books. Stand up. The righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just praise Him. Let's enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Enter His courts with praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, you've made us righteous. Thank you, God, that you've given us authority. Thank you, God, for this authority. Thank you, God, for power. Thank you, God, for revelation. Thank you, God, that we have authority here on the earth. Thank you, God, for authority over the devil. Thank you, God, that we have the answers. Thank you, God, we can change things. We can change situations. We can change situations. I thank you, God, that we can and we will change situations in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let's start with sickness. Sickness, you're under our feet. All sickness is under our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Every name that is named. Jesus' name is above every name that is named. And in the name of Jesus, we command sickness to go. Sickness, get out of our home. Sickness, get away from our friends. Sickness, get away from our family. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we command sickness to go. Go in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. My family's healed. My friends are healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Healing, come now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pain, go. In the name of Jesus. Cancer, go. In the name of Jesus. All sickness, go. In the name of Jesus, the flu goes. In the name of Jesus, coughs and colds go. In the name of Jesus, all sort of joint pain go. In the name of Jesus, blood problems go. In the name of Jesus, digestive problems go. In the name of Jesus, all bone and skeletal issues go. In the name of Jesus, all ligament and muscle issues go. In the name of Jesus, all mental issues and depression and any of that sort of stuff, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, sound mind, sound mind, sound mind, in the name of Jesus. Demons, go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. I command strife to leave in the name of Jesus. All family infighting, leave in the name of Jesus. All relative fighting, in the name of Jesus. Relatives are calm. I speak the love of God into families. The love of God into families. The love of God into families. The goodness of God into families. Forgiveness, come in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. I command all wrath and bitterness and unforgiveness to go in the name of Jesus. All of that stuff. The devil, you cannot lie to my relatives. Devil, you cannot lie to my family. You cannot lie to my friends. You cannot lie to marriages. You cannot lie to the children. In the name of Jesus, devil, stop lying to families. Stop lying to church members. Stop lying to pastors. Stop lying to people in the name of Jesus. Stop lying. Stop your lies. Get out of the church. Get out of our families. Get out of government in the name of Jesus. Devil, get out of government in the name of Jesus. Get away from government in the name of Jesus. We speak righteousness to our government. Righteous leaders. Righteous leaders will be elected. Righteousness. Righteous leaders. Father, I pray that you would influence the election for good. Influence the election for good. Good leaders. Good leaders. Good leaders. Good leaders. No evil. No evil. No evil. No evil. No corruption in our government. No corruption in state, local, or federal government. In the name of Jesus. No corruption. No corruption. Amen. Corruption be gone in the name of Jesus. All corruption be gone. Hallelujah. And confusion be gone. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Now, think about a number that you need to make each month. Not just not a get-by number. There's the get-by number that's just kind of squeak-by number. But then there's sort of the number that's sort of like, this number works. You know, this number kind of pays everything, and there's a little cushion on that. You need a number with a little bit of cushion. And that's the number I want you to talk about. Because God doesn't want you to have just enough. God wants you to have the definition of prosperity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. In other words, when a relative needs some help, you have an abundance for every good work. You're able to give to needs. You have an abundance for every good work. That, it means that you're not just praying for your own needs. Let me give you the analogy. All right, great looking guy, 6'3", just great shape, wonderful, charming guy. He's just what every girl would like. And he makes just enough money to make his car payment and live in his parents' basement. Oh, but he's so good looking, and what a smile, and the perfect white teeth. I mean, isn't he just the perfect guy? And he makes just enough money to live in his parents' basement and make his car payment and buy a new muscle t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. That's not the definition of prosperity. What he needs is he needs enough for her and for the kids and the house, and he needs enough. He needs to make a little bit more than that, right? It would be wrong to just make enough for your muscle t-shirt and the gas for your car. That's not what we're to pray for. We're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. We need to be an advertisement for God. We need to be a walking advertisement of the goodness of God, that the blessing of God is upon us, so that we have all sufficiency for every good work. And we can do some good. Amen? All right. So you got a number in mind. You don't have to say it out loud. Probably better if you didn't say it out loud. But I claim this amount. We claim this amount in the name of Jesus. Every month, we claim this amount. This amount is coming in every single month. Every single month, this amount is coming in the name of Jesus. I claim this amount. This amount is mine. I have it now. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I claim it in the name of Jesus. I claim this amount in the name of Jesus. Devil, in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of that amount of cash flow. Take your hands off of that salary. Take your hands off of that amount of income. Devil, release it in the name of Jesus. You take your hands off it. You can no longer hinder. You can no longer hinder my expectation. You can no longer hinder this process in the name of Jesus. The money's coming. The money's coming. You don't have to figure out how that can happen. But I'm on a fixed salary. I'm on a fixed income. I only have this amount. God is bigger than that. God is bigger than a fixed income. God is so much bigger than a fixed income. But, you know, I've just, you know, this, and I've got this. If you need more than that, God can do more than that. There are amazing ways that God does more. Amazing things. So don't limit God.
But, you know,
don't. Here's the number. It can happen. Right? Here's the number. It can happen. There's no way an appraiser could have made $10,000 a month. It's just my boss's boss didn't make $10,000 a month. My boss's boss didn't make $10,000 a month. But a year later, I did. Okay? So you don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. So devil, you take your hands off of that amount of money. It's coming. It's coming. I don't have to figure out how. It's coming in the name of Jesus. It's mine. I have it now. Now, go, ministering spirits, and cause it to come in. Go, ministering spirits. Go, angels, and cause it to come in. Go, 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 in the name of Jesus. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is able to make all grace abound towards me, so that I, having all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. I have an abundance for every good work. I have all sufficiency in all things. I have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go, ministering spirits, and cause the money to come in. Cause the money to come in. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's done. Thank you, God. I have that amount of money every month. That's what I make every month. That's my income every month. Every month. That's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Glory. How do you think that CH made so much money? Initial CH. How do you think she made that much money? Right here. Doing this. Applying this. You know, I won't say it right now. Anyways, this friend of ours applied this. She's a Rhema graduate, and she applied this. Claiming this amount of money. Claiming this amount of money. Sending the angels out. And made a bunch of money, did tremendously well, applied this. This is applied this and did tremendously well. Tremendously well. I'm not saying you don't have to figure it out. You just have to believe it. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit back down. You can sit back down. What we're doing here is we are using our authority. We're not begging God, but we're kicking the devil out of our stuff. We're not allowing him to come through our front door with typhoid. We're not allowing him to get into our bank accounts and just pull all the money out. It's not God doing that. It's the devil who tries to do that, and we stop him in the name of Jesus, right? And when one of your friends is sick and you go to pray for them, are you going to ask God, who didn't send the sickness, to heal this person in contradiction with the scriptures? Or are you going to obey the scriptures and in the name of Jesus lay hands on the sick because they shall recover? That's our job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just tell you a quick story. This is fun. After I'm making $10,000 as a loan agent, we started praying for bigger stuff. Started praying for big things. And I'm sitting there at my desk at Washington Mutual as a loan agent. I just prayed. Just sat at my desk and prayed. And I was the only guy that year that had $1 million loan in 98. That was a big number. But I got $1 million loan on just because the phone rang. And I was on floor duty. Hello? Yeah, I'd like to borrow $1 million. Like $1 million loan? Sure. And so it's commission only. And you have these higher payout tiers because that $1 million loan went in there. So all the other loans that were in there, it ended up paying really big. That was just a floor call. So I'm sitting there at my desk, and this guy walks in and says, I'd like to speak to a loan agent. And they said, well, there's Brad. Sit down. And so he sits down at my desk, and he says, I want to give this property back to the bank. I want to do deed in lieu of foreclosure. Here are the keys. And he drops a pile of keys on my desk. And I said, well, I'm not really the guy that does that. But tell me a little bit about this property. Well, it is an apartment building, and it killed my father. This building killed my father. It is killing me. I don't want it anymore. You take it. And I was like, well, tell me more. It turns out it's a 10-unit apartment building in Redwood City. And I said, how much are the rents? And he says, well, they're this. And I'm penciling it all out. And I said, well, how much is the loan? And what are the payments? Pencil it out. Does that include taxes and insurance and maintenance and things like that? Well, payment, taxes, insurance, and the rents that come in and the payment, it's the same number. It doesn't really quite get maintenance, but it's really pretty much the same number. And I said, well, have you tried to sell it? Yes, it's been for sale for over a year. We can't sell it. We looked it up, and, so I had an appraisal background. The value of the building and asked what they were asking for it, and its value, the loan amount and the value are the same. And so that's why he wants to do a deed in lieu, because he can't sell it, because he had added 6% on top of that and tried to sell it for that so the realtor could get paid a commission. He couldn't sell it, because that number was too high. And it was really worth this number, exactly loan amount, which is why it made sense for him to do a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Prayed about it for about longer than I should, about a month. We said, tell you what we'll do. Rather than you getting a deed in lieu of foreclosure on your credit report, why don't you sell the building to us and we'll really transfer the building to me. I'll start making the payments. I'll make your name good, and I'll just take it over for you. And we'll just do a transfer, and we'll get it out of your name, and I'll take it over. He says, that is fine. I just don't want this building anymore. So for $10, I bought a 10-unit apartment building in Redwood City. This was totally God. And so he introduces me to all the tenants, and, this one Tongan opens the door. I pay on the 11th and, like, the 23rd. I mean, it just made no sense at all. But, when a 400-pound Tongan tells you I pay on the 11th and the 23rd, you yes, sir, that's exactly when you pay. He opens the door. It was at night. He opens the door, and there was light behind him, but he filled up the doorway, and there was no light that came from behind him. He was enormous. the when we finally got a new roof on it, the roofers were falling through the roof. It was in that kind of disrepair. It was so bad. When we renovated the first unit, we got these crazy people out of it, and the next day I went into the unit and there were black dots all over the walls. I mean, just like every wall had these black dots, and well, the lights were off and everything, so we kind of opened the curtains and looked around, and the black dots were moving. They were cockroaches. And once you opened the kitchen drawers, it was worse. It was bad. I don't think that the person who went to the bathroom, the male who was going to the number one in the bathroom, ever aimed. I think he just opened the door. It was so bad. We had to pull up all the vinyl, and then we washed down the floor, and we bleached the floor, and we did Lysol on the floor. We did everything we could possibly put on the floor, and then finally we painted the floor. And then we painted it again to try to seal that, you know. And then we tiled over that and all this kind of stuff. Anyways, that was the sort of thing that we inherited. But 7 years later, we sold it at $1 million profit. 7 years later. So how does God answer these kinds of prayers? He often answers in seed form. God doesn't necessarily give you the full manifestation. Here's $1 million. He doesn't do it like that. How does he do it? He gives you a piece of doo-doo apartment building and says, clean it up. You have the tools. And we did. Not only that, but what happened was the owner of the building, dad had died without a will. He died intestate, and there were other properties that they owned. And so we had to do probate on their entire estate. And so we cleaned up all the title on mom's house and the other investment properties that they had. We paid for all of this and did this all for the sellers. And they came to Christ, and they got saved. And we probated their whole estate, did it all out of the cash flow from the apartments. And the next thing that happened was that took 2 years before we finally got clear, insurable title. And so all this time I'm working without clear title. I worked on that building without clear title for 2 years. This is God. And it's an amazing thing that happened. And the other thing that happened was the city of Redwood City appointed me to a Blue Ribbon Committee to decide what would happen on the adjoining property that the city owned and had to do something with. And there was the homeowners group and the landlords group, and then there was the tenants group, and there was no way they could meet in the middle. The homeowners and landlords were saying one thing, the tenants were saying another. There was just no way the two could come together. I began to pray, and I, like Moses, I talked to my father-in-law. My father-in-law said, Habitat for Humanity, check it out. And so what was happening was the renters group was saying, we need subsidized housing. You know, this one guy just gave this most impassioned plea. He said, I make $10 an hour. I've got 3 kids. How am I ever going to pay these kinds of rents? I make $10 an hour. I make this amount. And my rent is like, my income and my rent are the same. How am I supposed to feed my family? You know, I mean, the guy, and we're like, we were crying for him, you know, and because, you know, really, I mean, the guy really had a great, great plea. And so the renters were saying subsidized housing. The landlords are saying we need owner occupied because the apartment building before had just been a gang infested, terrible place. And Habitat for Humanity is owner occupied, subsidized housing. Owner occupied, you own the place. But it's a qualified rental type situation. And so the exact same rental income, the exact same income requirements for subsidized housing were the exact same ones for owner-occupied Habitat for Humanity. The solution that I brought to the table was exactly the solution that immediately was recognized as the solution for the whole thing. And now on Rollison Road, fronting the freeway, there are 2 blocks of Habitat for Humanity there today. Is God good? God's good. This family got saved. Did somehow or another I take advantage of? No. It's not someone taking advantage of. It's angels influencing people for good and good results coming out of it. Everybody wins. Everybody won in that situation. Claim what you need. Tell the devil to take his hands off it. Send the angels out and let them do their job. They'll do a good job. They'll do a good job. Amen?